The epistle appointed to be read for this, the first Sunday of Lent, is taken from the second epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, we entreat you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, "In an acceptable time I have heard thee, and in the day of salvation I have helped thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense to anyone, that our ministry may not be blamed. On the contrary, let us conduct ourselves in all circumstances as God's ministers, in much patience, in tribulations, in hardships, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleepless nights, in fastings, in innocence, in knowledge, in long-sufferings, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in unaffected love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, with the armor of justice on the right hand and on the left, in honor and dishonor, in evil report and in good report, as deceivers and yet truthful, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastised but not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet enriching many, as having nothing yet possessing all things." And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Matthew. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus was led into the desert by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If thou art the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, not by bread alone does man live, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If thou art the Son of God, throw thyself down, for it is written, he has given his angels charge concerning thee, and upon their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written further, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said to him, "All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, the Lord thy God shalt thou worship, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, there are a few things that I wish to bring to our attention this morning. The first, lest I forget, I do have some few tickets left for the movie come Friday. And if you are wanting some, please see me after Mass and I will have them to give to you. Some of you have asked if you may bring a close friend or a close relative to the movie with one of these passes, and at first I was hesitant because I was not certain of how the number would hold out, but I think I have a few that I can certainly give out for very close friends or very close relatives that you would like to bring with you to the movie. Try to be at the outside, weather permitting, hopefully, of the theater about 20 minutes to 4. That is this coming Friday, about 20 minutes to 4. And we shall enter in, and then, all things being equal, I think we'll be the only ones in there. That's what I'm hoping for. We will say the rosary, a part of the rosary. And the fifth sorrowful mystery. After the movie, then we will proceed to come out here. Now, hurry up, but take your time. Come on out here, and we'll go downstairs, just down through this front entrance downstairs. We all know how to do that. And go down there for just a little roll and a glass of water and probably a piece of cheese. There'll be some available. This is no feast that we're coming to. It's a little act of penance, an act of reparation for that which we are obliged to perform. Now, I understand that those who are sick, this will certainly not be sufficient. So whatever precautions you need to take, please have no hesitations about this. I also suggest, to increase the penance of it all, that there is no further eating that evening by anybody, except, of course, those who, because of sickness or whatever, are not permitted to do so, in which case, have no fear or qualm of conscience. But for those of us who can fast, let us try to fast the rest of the evening on just the little bit that we get downstairs to eat. Then move up here quickly. No visiting, no talking, no conversation. I'm not saying there should be the strictest kind of silence, but there should be a silence. And that we move up here and then get ready for the Stations of the Cross and Benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. Compline will follow immediately after that. You're free to come or go, whichever you choose to do. And those of you that have traveled long distances, however, I suggest that you do not tarry too long, but to be on your way. During this past week, as a matter of fact, I don't remember the day. Our very dear friend who has been here on more than one occasion, Father John Quinn from Lake Zurich in Illinois, died after a very long illness. He is a pioneer and who did very much good in his own way for the preservation of God's Holy Church. Let us pray for Father John Quinn's soul. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord. May his soul and all the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. Of course, everyone is talking about the movie. I failed to mention, however, I have to mention, after Mass, we will have, if you will approach the communion rail for the imposition of ashes, and also here, as you see these packets of ashes, please help yourselves to them and take them home with you and use them around the house as all of you know how. But all of us have been talking about the movie. And there might be a possibility of talking about it as a sort of an entertainment affair. Before we go into the movie, or before we proceed any further into the holy season of Lent, let this quotation, which is taken from the Mass, stand uppermost in our minds. What have I given to my Lord for all that he has given to me? And the question should hang around our heads. What have I given to my Lord? As I look about and I see all that he has given to me, what is exactly the nature of my religious observance? Over the past 20 or 30 years, when things began to fall apart, individual people began to take on individual interpretations of what it was, what it is meant to be a Catholic, and what must we do in order to make ourselves satisfactory in the eyes of God? What must I do to save my soul? And in great measure, many people there are who simply have devised a program all their own. And they have attached importance upon things that have no importance. The only thing, my beloved people, that you have to, you and I, the only thing that we have to keep in our heads and have to keep in our heads clearly is our holy faith. Do I believe? Who is Jesus Christ? What was Jesus Christ's mission here on earth? What was his purpose? Now, I think sometimes we forget Scripture, or never read it for that matter. Do we realize that before the coming of Jesus Christ here on earth, not anybody, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, all the prophets, whoever, none of these were able to enter heaven. When Adam and Eve committed, when Adam and Eve took part in the eating of the apple, the gates of heaven were slammed shut for everybody. No one was allowed in. If you read the gospel, if you read the scripture, you will see that the word salvation does not show up really. That the only thing that it comes up was justification. What did our Lord promise Abraham or any of them? He said, go do so and so and so and so, and your progeny shall be as numerous as the sands of the sea, as the sands of the shore, or the stars of heaven, or whatever, whatever, whatever. No salvation was ever promised, because salvation was not available. Can we get that into our heads? And the whole plan of creation was frustrated completely by that simple act of Adam and Eve. Completely frustrated. And it took the coming of this individual whom we know to be Jesus Christ, and the force of heaven and earth, the force of heaven and hell, the forces of heaven and hell were at war with each other. The devil did not know that Jesus was Christ, was God. The gospel today plainly tells us this. The devil had a pretty good suspicion that Christ was God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, but the devil did not know that for sure. And he was trying him out to find out, to find out, to find out. And so we see the enormous fight, the enormous warfare that took place, the most violent of all violences took place between Christ, between good and evil. And it took the death of Jesus Christ to open those gates of heaven to let us in. Now, here we come in the process of maintaining our holy religion. My beloved people, look how silly we have become. We have become so silly. Since, of course, it's for our own interpretation as it appears, that we have come to place over the last few years importance on such things as what kind of vestment the priest is wearing? Does he use Latin in the performance of some of the sacraments? Or how much vernacular has he incorporated? Or where does he keep the holy water? Are such insignificant, totally unimportant items. That's not where salvation is. The cut of this vestment has nothing to do with the salvation of my immortal soul. Some people put it almost as essential. And it goes on and on and on, ad nauseam. My beloved people, it isn't in these external idiocies today. I'll put it this way. I was corrected once upon a time by someone who later decided maybe he's right. And I'll say it in here again. The Catholic Church, as it was 50 years ago, will never, ever again be the same or come back, like it or not. And if tomorrow morning the holiest man on earth should become our Pope? Who do you think would give him the most trouble? The traditionalists. Because if he did not come from this particular precinct, he's not a Catholic. That's where we are. And so instead of fighting the devil, where the devil likes to live, which is namely inside of our hearts, we fight each other, and we bring in all of these non-essential stupidities that have nothing to do with the salvation of my immortal soul. If I had been the only individual left walking, or had ever walked on the face of, I'll start over again. If I had been the only individual ever to walk on the face of this earth, Jesus Christ would have come down anyway to save just me. What kind of penance do any of us really and truly, deep-seated, I mean down bottom, last word and the last line of the last paragraph of the book, how many of us really perform penances that come anywhere near the category of penance that Christ suffered for any one of us? My beloved people, the war is in my heart. And if the devil were to come to anyone in this room, I've said this before, and were to take me up to the highest mountain and tell me you can have all of that if you'll just fall down and adore me, what great temptation is that? And then as we look around, look how often the devil has offered much less, and how often we have fallen and adored and given in to our anger and given in to our pride and given in to all of the other problems and vices that are common to us. Much less does the devil offer me, and I fall down and adore. But yet, when I come to church, the priest has got to do this, he's got to do that, he's got to do something else. The Catholic Church has got to be this. If the priest listened to everyone's private wish, or private expectation, or whatever, the priest would go crazy. So let us not place our attention on the externals of our Catholic faith. This picture should tell us that. This movie should tell us that. There's nothing external. The suffering of Jesus Christ was tremendous, physically. But where was Christ's greatest suffering? Because of his divinity in him, he saw all these people, his children, who would not avail themselves of everything that he had suffered. That was Christ's most tremendous suffering. And he saw our own sons and daughters, and brothers and sisters, and uncles and aunts, and mothers and fathers, and whoever. And he saw how they would go, and the route that they would take. My beloved people, let us keep first things first. If we're going to promise Almighty God a change of life, then let it be a change of life. No resolutions, please. No resolutions. Do not resolve during this Lent that I will not do this during Lent. I will not do that during Lent. One thing that I have to learn to do during Lent is, please, Lord, show me the importance of my soul. We do not know the fires of hell. And in today's world, the fires of hell are looked upon as, well, yeah, I guess we can tolerate them. The screeching, scorching. I read it described once by someone who was given the grace to see the souls in hell. And this person, this individual, saw the scorched black embers that the heat of the fire kept aloft, eternally burning, never consumed. Never consumed. And we, my beloved people, attach ourselves to the insignificant trivias that we think so important, and that we give into ourselves as much as we do. My dear people, here in this room today, me, you, everybody, how comfortable we are. There are those that complain about the hardness of the benches. Okay, they're going to stay that way. But if the hardness of the benches for us is something that is intolerable, we'd best not go to hell. Hell is no joke. And Jesus Christ came here to make it possible for me, unworthy as I am, to avoid hell. Eternity is something else that we have no notion of. Eternity, we have no idea what eternity really is. We can describe it, but that's as far as we can get with it. But sitting in a hard bench for 30 minutes on a Sunday, when compared to what eternity is in hell, is poor example of what we're talking about. Everything that we stand for, everything that we want, everything that we have worked for, everything that we own will be frustrated totally, completely, and absolutely. So, we say, how gloomy? It's not gloomy at all. If I love God, as I work to love God, then I must flip my mind quickly and think of the magnificence of heaven, and that what I have to do, only what I have to do, we've said this before, the only real thing that I have to do is to simply turn my point of view around. That's all that's asked of me. And to get rid of my pride, because turning my point of view around gets rid of my pride, because it is no longer me, the self-center, the center of the universe, but that God is. And I will learn to be obedient. And I will learn that the love of God surpasses everything that I could possibly want in this life. To love God is the greatest happiness that can come to me on this earth. Have you ever noticed these people that are dead center, literalist, got to be just a certain way, can't go this way a little bit, can't go that way, just it's got to be just exactly right down the middle of the line. Have you ever looked at them real closely in their eyes? In their eyes, in their faces, in their demeanor, if you look real close, you'll find anger. You'll find anger. For one who loves God truly, regardless of the sins that he may commit. Look at poor St. Peter. He was always getting in trouble. But St. Peter was not angry, and neither must we be. So, as we proceed into Lent, if we want to get something out of Lent, then we must look at things as they are, not as we would like for them to be. Drop the idea to restore all things in Christ. That's gone with the wind, as holy as that saying might be, and coming from one who is a saint. To restore all things in Christ. That is over. The best that we can do today is to preserve the little fragments, the little straws that are out in the ocean that we might grab onto and preserve them. That's all we've got. That's all we've got. And maintain your prayer. And in Lent, I want you particularly to develop a greater devotion to the Most Holy Rosary. Every day, somehow or other, every day, say the Rosary. If you do any driving, keep the Rosary in your car and say the Rosary while driving. You can do it. It's very simple. Nothing to it. After you get used to it after a day or two, but say the Rosary every day and present yourself every day to Almighty God as one who loves him above all things else. My beloved people,